Mucus. Many organisms produce it, and many products in daily use were developed using mucus-based technology. Essentially, a mucus membrane is there to help an organism cope with constant assault from the surrounding environment. And everything from crocodiles to ants to humans have this membrane. Dr. Dave Kingsley from Staffordshire University is an expert on the subject of mucus and its applications for humans. And his favourite mucus-producing animals are slugs and snails.
They tend not to migrate that far. You can't really see too many snails moving that quickly. But what you have is an organism that lives in an environment. It's evolved specifically to react to the environment. Its reaction to that environment involves its mucus surface. So you can use that to actually see what's going on.
But why is that useful to know?
If you've got things like agrochemical runoff, if you've got some aspects of pollution, or you've got a declining in sort of the species diversity, you may be able to see cues within the mucus surface that you may not be able to pick up from other particular functions that are easy. The technique I use is called infrared spectroscopy, and it's a very quick technique for looking at complex biomolecules, which is mucus is one of those. And it's a swipe card system for slugs, that's the way best to describe it. The actual surface of the infrared spectroscopy technique is something called a crystal. And you put the mucus on top of the crystal. And the best way of doing that is to get a cooperative slug that's not too hassled and just letting it wander across the crystal or just moving it gently by hand across the crystal. Essentially, you swipe it across this crystal. And then from that information on top of the crystal, you can then derive the properties, the infrared spectroscopy properties of the mucus from it. And it's a very quick process.
I can understand that your research may be very handy for the slugs, but how useful is it for humans?
Those people who suffer from respiratory tract diseases, asthma, COPD, that sort of thing, even bronchial stuff, even if you've been into a smoky environment, you know, the smoker's cough, the hack, we all know that we produce bogies. We all know that we cough up, we produce saliva. All of those are mucus-based products. So there's quite a strong relation between the aspect of mucus production and environmental assault.
Now, if the slug and the snail and so on are so good at coping with all sorts of horrible things that they crawl over because of this mucus, does that mean that there could in fact be future medicines inside slugs and snails?
There are probably already. Some of the stuff to do with agglutinins, which are test substances for looking at how certain allergens react, involve mucus properties. There's a fair bit of stuff. I mean, have you ever tried those sort of sheets of blue plastic that melt in your mouth? They're based upon the idea of glucopolysaccharides, which are the basic function of mucus. So there's already stuff that's going on. And also there are some slow-release preparations that are involved in gel patches. The gel is basically what a mucus is. It's not exactly the same, of course, but it's something close to it. So understand the properties of a gel enable you to understand the properties of molecules that move within it.
How could slugs then be used maybe to test out things to find out how they might react on humans in the future, and how might that change our whole sort of system of testing irritants?
Well, that all depends on the regulatory bodies, to be honest, and how well they feel about adapting to certain changes. There are developing techniques and properties, things especially to do with sort of like using invertebrate models for problems associated with testing vertebrates. So you've got insects or mollusks versus rats and bunny rabbits. And if you've got a technique that requires some degree of licensing, the licensing is not as defined as it is on invertebrates. I mean, most people, if they see a slug in their garden, will try and kill it. If they saw a fluffy bunny in their garden, they wouldn't cover it in salt and try and kill it that way, would they? So there is a degree of issues that are involved with actually accepting certain ways of evaluating problems. And so with the slugs, I would say that you've got a model that, should it be approved, is actually quite a good one for looking at, say, the irritation of surfaces. And there are some people who are looking into that at the moment. I know that there have been some papers involved with actually doing a comparison with something like the Dryase test, you know, it's the eyeball test in rabbits, and the surface of a slug. There are some comparable studies.
And finally, when I do see a slug in my garden, should I be getting rid of it, or actually has it got a really good role to play?
My point of view is that no, don't get rid of it, because I think they're fabulous creatures, but that's possibly a degree of bias on my part. One way of doing it is, if you have children, is to get them with a pair of gloves, 5p a slug, put it in a pot and stick it in the wheelie bin. And then they'll go off to the waste, unless it's not an incinerator, which would be a bit sad for them. But if they go to a landfill site, they've got plenty of food and they can stay there quite happily.
That's Dr. Dave Kingsley from Staffordshire University.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.